Childhood Over.
Before I Was Born by Sue Jackson. I was born in a maternity unit in a town called Butterworth in South Africa on the 8th of April 1953. No, wait. I could have been born on or around the 8th of April 1953. Hang on. I was due to be born around the 1st of April 1953. However, I was 3 weeks late, or so you could say. I wasn't quite ready to take part in it all yet. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, though. My parents lived and worked in a Presbyterian mission in South Africa called Blytheswood. Blytheswood was named after the first chief magistrate, a white man named Captain Blythe. For context, missionaries at that time could be viewed as servants of God, spreaders of the gospel and the word of God, creators of schools, teachers of behaviours and morals pertaining to Christianity, messengers of capitalism, agents of imperialism, and parts of the machinery of colonialism and conquest. That was part of the landscape that I was born into, and I sometimes wonder how this may have shaped who I am and who I'm yet still to be. I was conceived at Blytheswood Mission, as this seems the most logical place. It was where my parents were living, after all. I think you probably know what happens with conception. I'm sure I do not need to describe this to you. Is it ever thus that children do not wish to think about their parents having sex, even if they have children of their own, even if they understand that parents were once young and wanted to know the magic of a kiss and a sigh? Be that as it may, let's also not waste an opportunity to find some embarrassing amusement in the phrase missionary position. What happens in the next 9 months and 3 weeks? Water begins to form and I'm floating in a dark red lake. There is a rhythm I can not only hear but feel. I'm in between worlds. This place holds me. This place is home. I sometimes hear other sounds from the outside world. I hear the voice of home reverberating from within and from without, and another voice that often joins in. I hear noises from the inside home, gurgling, swishing, and popping. The first music I experience is the beating of home's heart, and I begin to notice nuances in the sound. I am suspended in this moment and yet changing all of the time. I'm able to feel my hands, my face, my feet. I hear music, I hear prayers, I hear singing. I sleep when home is awake, and when home sleeps, I sometimes move or stretch. I explore the space I'm in. I begin to take up more and more space. I'm in a complete state of unknowing. How desperate we can be to fill that unknowing with knowledge, deception, fear of not knowing, and yet this is where we begin. Before the first scuffled knee, the first kiss, the first heartbreak, the first proper job, the first fight, the first of the last goodbyes, we are in unknowing. Now, it's around this point that my mother and father made their first journey from Blytheswood to a maternity unit in Butterworth. It is my due date, after all. I'm expected. So expected am I that my father drives my mother for over 3 hours on unmade-up roads full of bumps and troughs, and everything in the vehicle is rattling, shaking, thumping like some of the greatest rock and roll. I'm not sure what this new feeling is. I feel it inside my stomach, a fluttering. I'm not sure if I'm feeling it or home is feeling it, or both. I can hear an orchestra of mechanical sounds, metal grinding its teeth, the bump, 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 followed by the tack, attack, attack, to be joined by ba-ba-bump, ba-ba-ba-bump, ba-ba-ba-bump. I'm all sensation. I press my hands against the walls and kick my feet out, instinctively reacting to any noise. The bass, earthy beats, calling me out of my home. I did not arrive. My father had to drive the over 3-hour journey back on the roads that were uneven and shook up everything that travelled along with them, where he and my mother would have to wait. It was some tiring 3 weeks later when my mother's waters finally broke and over 3 hours' journey to Butterworth was embarked upon again, this time with me making my first official appearance. I was born in a maternity unit in a town called Butterworth in South Africa on the 29th of April 1953. An extra 3 weeks. I wonder what you could do in 3 weeks if you were given 3 weeks to create something, to have a 3-week idea that lasts no longer than that, from idea to finish. What would you do? When you are carrying a full-term baby, however, those 3 extra weeks can feel like a heavy, aching eternity. Nowadays, perhaps, the hospital might have induced my mother, introducing me to the bright lights of the baby unit earlier. My mother told me that those same extra 3 weeks had led her to developing varicose veins. This did not stop her from wearing high heels throughout her life. 3 weeks. I wonder if I was so fond of that in utero space that I could scarcely bring myself to leave it. Maybe there was some dance between introvert and extrovert that played out in my earliest experiences. Or perhaps, like much in life, sometimes things just are. It's not something I think about, really, being in the womb. I suppose the closest I get to those earliest moments is when I'm asleep, comfy, in blankets. When the sun first streams through a window, have you noticed that the inside of our eyelids somehow looked like what we see in the womb? The same red colour, that every morning it is as though we were being born on a new day.
Under, It Was a Long Gestation, by Jason Urquhart. 29th April 1952. 1 year until I make my entrance into this world. I'm not sure exactly what form I take at this moment of time. Do I exist as a thought in my parents' heads, or perhaps as a libidinous desire in one of them? If you believe in the principle of cause and effect, that every action or event is the result of another event or series of events, then everything that will ever happen has already begun. Everything that is going to happen has already started. Everything that I will ever do is the result of events that have already commenced, long before my birth. It is like the line of dominoes toppling into each other, the fate of the domino determined not by its own actions, but from those that preceded it. The path of your life story has already been decided by events that happened long before you came into existence. Sigmund Freud. There is someone who knew a bit about the unconscious. Supposedly said that if you gave him a child's first 5 years, he could give you the adult. But he is very likely only starting the story halfway through. July 1952. I now have corporeal form. It is probably a stretch to try and claim consciousness. Everything is happening very fast. A series of biological and chemical reactions are giving form to what will become known as Bill Drummond. Though at this stage I am still unnamed, and no one is aware of my existence. But for the first time there is something that you could point at and say that it was me. October 1952. I am now beginning to take the shape of the person that will become recognizable as Bill Drummond. I live in the center of a dark space where no light permeates. I am a tabula rasa, a blank slate. I have no language, but that is not important as I have no one to communicate with, and even if I did, I do not know if I would have much to say. I have no concept of colour. I do not have concepts of much. What I do have is an awareness of a surrounding darkness and the calmness that comes with it. This space is for me the entire universe. Nothing exists beyond it. It is all that exists. I have no concept of anything exterior to my space. January 1953. The space around me is beginning to feel smaller. The darkness is starting to feel cramped, but no less calming. I am becoming aware that something exists beyond my dark universe. At first, this is through sounds. I begin to differentiate between the sounds. I'm not aware that they are trying to communicate with me. I have no awareness of others. I start to focus on the rhythmic sounds that I occasionally hear and how they make me feel. The feelings, emotions, and passions that they create within me. There are some that make me feel elated. Others that make me feel calm, some that make me want to move my developing body, and then there are some that either bore me or create strong feelings of unhappiness. 3rd April 1953. 23 days until I am born. Though I do not know that at this moment in time. But 23 is a number that symbolizes something to my unconscious, even at this early stage of my life. I am growing bigger every day. My physical form is changing at a phenomenal rate. The surrounding darkness feels like it is growing smaller, but still the calmness it exudes smothers me in peace and tranquility. It is an impenetrable darkness. Before we learn to fear the night, this darkness feels like the safest place in existence. My time is spent growing, feeding, sleeping, and exploring myself and my surroundings. It is unlikely that I could differentiate between being awake and sleeping, or between waking thoughts and dreams. A child in the womb has very little to wish for. This places strict limits on wish fulfillment dreams. My own personal symbolism is limited by the sparseness of my personal surroundings. I have no myths available to me to shape my unconscious. My imagination is still developing. All I have is my darkness, my limited understanding of my own body, which I am growing into, the sounds that filter in from the outside, and my developing emotions and desire. Is this the deepest level that my unconscious is built upon? Does it all sit on this foundation? These days, when I dream, as I regularly do, of the waters of the Black Loch, the source of the Penkiln burn. Am I really dreaming of being back in the womb? Are the dark, still waters of the loch my unconscious dreaming of returning to the womb? Is it how my unconscious tells me that I am looking for calm? Is my unconscious telling me that I am done bringing chaos into this world? It is time to pass that baton to the next generation. Or are the still waters taunting me? Are they crying out for someone or something to disturb them? Are they looking for that action or event, the cause, which triggers the effect that brings change to their usual state of perfect stillness? Or am I driven by a will to create, where my subconscious realizes that destruction can be the purest form of creation? The person who helps others make the gestalt switch, the catalyst who helps them focus on the phoenix rising instead of fixating on the ashes, helping them recognize the beauty in the transformation and renewal coming from an act that they perceive to be one of destruction, is lurking in my subconscious. The desire to be that first domino that triggers the chain of cause and effect leading to the others falling over. 28th of April, 1953. I do not know it yet, but this is my last full day in here. Tomorrow, everything is going to change.